talk for the rest of the hour about an antique agricultural sack, stained with age and embroidered with an inscription that says, "My great-grandmother Rose, mother of Ashley, gave her this sack when she was sold at age 9 in South Carolina. It held a tattered dress, 3 handfuls of pecans, a braid of Rose's hair. Told her it be filled with my love always. She never saw her again. Ashley is my grandmother. Ruth Middleton, 1921. This sack was featured in the Smithsonian's National Museum of African American History and Culture in Washington, D.C. from September 2016 to March 2021. It's now on site at the Middleton Place Plantation in Charleston, South Carolina. It's captured countless imaginations, including that of local scholar and historian Taya Miles. Her new book is called All That She Carried. The book uses the sack to thread together Rose and Ashley's history and that of other enslaved women, while underscoring how little of their history we can know. Those who were enslaved were often made invisible in historical and archival records. Taya Miles joins us now, a history professor and Radcliffe alumnae professor at the Radcliffe Institute for Advanced Study at Harvard. Professor Miles, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So this book was so compelling from the first to the last, and it begins with this discovery for you of Ashley's sack. What originally drew you to it?
I was drawn to the sack when I saw it hanging in the Smithsonian in DC, because it is an incredible piece of material culture, an incredible object that immediately encourages emotional connection. When I saw it, I knew that I couldn't leave it. It was a visceral reaction. I knew that I had to find out more about it and eventually to try to write its story.
Okay, so I'm going to maybe embarrass myself a little bit here, but as you talked about this physical object, right? I've never seen it, but I felt like I wanted to touch it. I wanted to hold it. I wanted to smell it. I wanted to get the feel of it myself. What is it, in looking back in history, that these physical options bring us that is so deeply connected to what happened in the past?
It's a wonderful question. And I think it's a question about objects in the present as well as in the past. Right now, you and I are talking by way of a screen. We live our lives so often, especially during the pandemic, in distance, in digital space, without being able to see one another face-to-face, to touch one another, to interact in all of the various sensory forms that we were built to interact in. And I think that in this kind of environment, when we are deprived of concreteness, of materialism, we are drawn to things that feel real, to things that we can really focus our attention on. And when it comes to historical questions, historical investigation, and historical connection, there's nothing like the material to focus that attention.
So the sack's journey is a journey of part of American history. Tell us just briefly, where did it travel? Where did it begin? And how did it eventually up at Middleton Place, where it currently resides?
This is one of the many incredible aspects of this story. The sack itself seems almost charmed. This is a very old utilitarian bag that was originally intended to hold agricultural products such as seeds or flour that was acquired somehow by an enslaved African-American woman named Rose in 1850s Charleston. Rose got her hands on this sack. And then when she learned that her daughter Ashley was going to be sold away and separated from her, Rose packed this sack with all the items that you read aloud at the start of our conversation. The sack was gifted by Rose to Ashley. And then the mother and daughter never saw one another again. They were separated for the rest of their lives, which is the truly tragic aspect of the story. But Ashley saved the sack. She kept it with her. She cared for it. She tended to it such that we can see on the sack itself, and this takes us back to a discussion of materiality, patches on the fabric. Ashley kept the sack. She handed it down to her own daughter, Rosa, who handed it down to her own child, Ruth. The family lived in South Carolina for most of their lives where they had been enslaved, but Ruth, like many, many African Americans in the early 20th century, decided that she would make her way north to find a new life, to find a safer life, to find greater economic opportunity. And she took this precious sack with her. In Philadelphia, Ruth embroidered the sack with the story that we now know. And many years later, the sack turned up in a flea market in Tennessee. A flea market shopper was going about her day in 2007. And this was a person who was accustomed to finding interesting items at flea markets and selling them back to other customers on eBay. She came across the sack in a bin of rags. And she bought a whole bundle of material for one price. She then discovered the inscription on the sack. She read it. She was astonished. She did some Google searching, and she discovered that Ruth Middleton, the embroiderer, shared a last name with a well-known, wealthy family in Charleston, South Carolina, the Middletons. And these are the Middletons of Middleton Place, which is a restored plantation site and National Historic Landmark. When the flea market shopper discovered this, she got in contact with staff members at Middleton Place, including Tracy Todd, who is currently the president of the Middleton Place Foundation. And she decided to donate the sack to the site. And the foundation now owns it.
You know, there's something both iconic and offensive about this symbol of generations of strong women, or women we can assume were incredibly strong, coming through a history of enslavement, carefully passed down, and then winding up in a rag bin at a flea market. And one of the things that strikes me in the book is the way you talk about the erasure of artifacts and history for enslaved people versus what we know about white America in that time. And you have to piece together a history from this modest sack. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, you put your finger on it exactly. And this was partly the difficulty and the struggle, and quite honestly, the painful aspect of working on this project, recognizing that the trajectory of the sack in many ways seemed to mirror the trajectory of the women who had packed it and passed it down and cared for it and relied upon it. The sack was treated as something invaluable, as something cheap, as something unworthy, as something that could be discarded. And African-American women have been treated in much the same way, especially in the time period when Rose lived and when Ashley lived, and when a Black girl, a Black child could be thought so unimportant that she could be vended away and sold away like an object, like a cow, like a blanket. It's very sad. I had a difficult time working with this material. And there's an irony involved here. The irony is that after all of those decades, all of those years that these women traveled with that sack, and after Ruth Middleton made her way north with this sack and changed her life so that she could live it out in the north, the sack was actually brought back to the South, brought back to a plantation, brought back to a place of incarceration, and exploitation. What do we make of this?
In many ways. What do we make of it? Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, not at all. In many ways, and in a strange way, we see the present reflecting the past here. We see that we are still entangled in many of the same power relationships that once existed and that led the SAC on its journey across South Carolina and to the North.
We have a few minutes left. We have a little time. And so I want to use it to talk about the items in the SAC that we learn about in the embroidery, because at one level they kind of read like a modest packing list: tattered dress, 3 handfuls of pecans, a braid of hair. But you bring them forward as symbols of both want and resilience. And there's something deeply defiant and at the same time feminist about the act of these items and putting them in the sack and what they would have meant to enslaved women of the time. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, that's right. It's a telling list, isn't it?
It is.
It's an evocative list. A tattered dress, 3 handfuls of pecans, a braid of Rose's hair, and we can't forget that love was also on this list. So this is a mother's list of things that she could get her hands on, of things that she could control, and of things that she thought her daughter might need. It is a beautiful list because it's material, it's physical, it goes to all of those human needs that we all share, the very basic necessities of life, clothing, food. But it's also symbolic of the ways in which African Americans, Black families, human beings need to connect to one another, need to bind to each other by way of emotion. And so we can certainly read this as a woman's list. You read it as a feminist list. And I can see that interpretation as well. Because in the moment of packing this sack, Rose was taking an action. She was taking a bold and courageous action to change the life of her daughter. She was taking an action that refused to accept the circumstance, the predicament, the system of enslavement.
Professor Miles, sometimes... I was going to say this like it was some wisdom of mine. Let me rephrase. One of the things that I learned in reading your book is that what we don't know tells us a story too. And what story do the gaps in our knowledge about Rose and Ashley tell?
So many things. We learn through the gaps in this story, the things that we cannot know for sure because the archival record is so thin, that there are many, many stories that exist that we actually can't access. We only have an impartial sense, an impartial understanding of the past. It is much more complex than we could ever recognize or ever guess. And that's very important because I think it compels us to consider our national past, our regional and local pasts, and our present time with a little bit of humility. We just do not know. There is much more to be discovered. And I also think that the not knowing, the gaps, compel us to think more creatively, to push ourselves, to try to empathize with people of the past, to grasp for, to search for, and to apply new tools of investigation, and to try to tell capacious stories that leave room for these spaces, for the things that we can't know, and that honor them, and that honor the people who were not able to create records, who were not able to construct archives, and who were not able to write their own stories.
In a sentence, and I say that because I don't want to have to cut you off at the end of this answer, what's one thing that changed in your heart from writing this book?
Through writing this book, I came to realize that to face the emergencies of our present time, we need all hands on deck.
And that is Professor Taya Miles, a history professor and Radcliffe alumnae professor at the Radcliffe Institute for Advanced Study at Harvard. Her book is All That She Carried, The Journey of Ashley's Sack, A Black Family Keepsake. Professor Miles, wow, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.